year. As we enter this new year, if there's a time for us to have just our vision single, if there's a time for us to have a single eye, and that our message is clear, it's now. We're entering a brand new year, and we anticipate blessings and challenges, but in each, the abiding presence of the Lord. And we are leaving a year that was marked with a contentious election that included harshness, accusation, campaigning on platforms of criticism, as opposed to a plans from the candidates on how they could offer a betterment of the nation. Brother Harold and I spoke in his concern for the year, this year, and the years ahead, the difficulties we'll face. I heard his heart, I concurred with him, and I agreed to pray, to bring a word that not only exhorts, but it encourages you and I. In our first reading, I want to draw attention to verse 10. We know that our faith, it's cradled in Judaism, and it's an extension of this holy faith. And in verse 10, Abraham's trust and his obedience to God Almighty, that he offer up his son, his only son, from Sarah. Verse 14, God wasn't interested in Isaac just being sacrificed on a whim. There's a greater issue. Would he trust God? Would he obey? And God Almighty reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. And in verse 16, we're told that God will bless Abraham. And that term, bless, it means to kneel. By implication, to bless God as an act of adoration, and vice versa, as a benefit when it's spoken of man, to congratulate, to praise, to salute. And Abraham is blessed. His intimacy with God, and along with that, his cattle, his holdings are increased by Abimelech, along with male and female servants. The Pharaoh takes Sarah into his house, and we're familiar with the story. In short order, God Almighty gets this Pharaoh's attention, and in turn, he provides Abraham with sheep, with oxen, with male and female servants. He also provides him with livestock and camels. I mean, Abraham's caravan is growing. And later, his grandson Joseph, he's sold into slavery. And the scriptures state in Genesis 39, and it came to pass from the time that he, speaking of Potiphar, that Egyptian official, made Joseph overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord bless the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. God blesses his people. In Scripture, and right up to 2017, he blesses his people for his glory, for his purposes to make him known. And as we enter into this new year, how important it is that we have just our eyes fixed, our feet planted firmly on the earth, but our heart in heaven. And I pray that God Almighty would give me a word that would not only exhort, but encourage us. We've gone through this contentious election, and it looks as though it's carrying into the new year the effects, the after effects, and we're going to get a litany from the media, from newspapers, of visions It was Whitaker Chambers who said that the issue is faith in God or faith in man. He says that's the crisis, as the way he saw it. And that man had once been a communist and a spy for the Russian government. And he had an awakening that caused him at one time to fear for his life. To fear for his life. But when I met his son in Maryland, he said, my father walked the walk. He walked the walk. And his book is titled by one word, witness. And the thing is as we've gone through this election, if we don't care about God and learning about him, then the newspapers and the television is going to define our reality. And so men can look through life through a rear view mirror, and we're going to continue getting a steady stream from the media outlet, from newspapers, and men can be distracted by the events of last year, or be a source that helps us with this word of reconciliation. There was once, as Yeshua was speaking, a man who said, Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Yeshua gave him a one-liner, Man, who made me a divider over you? That's all he said to him, a one-liner, Man, who made me a divider over you? And what that tells you and I is that Yeshua didn't come to divide men, but to bring men together. It was Rabbi Shaul who said that we no longer know Yeshua after the flesh. When Shaul knew Yeshua before, he considered him a leader of a new sect that was a threat, a menace to the holy religion of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the thing is, he doesn't see him anymore like this. No, he says, we don't see Yeshua or any man whom Yeshua saves by worldly and fleshly standards. No, we look at Yeshua and men by a higher standard. They're not Democrat. They're not Republican. We don't see men through the prism of political affiliation. God tells us that he calls us to become ambassadors. And we're on a mission. And when a man is serving as an ambassador, the concerns are the interests of that government, of the crown that he represents. And the thing of it is you and I are called to be light and salt. And that light will get diminished. The light will get diminished if we don't keep to that word of reconciliation that God Almighty has given to us to become ambassadors. He blesses us to bring him glory and to make him known. As to the word of reconciliation, God was in Messiah, Yeshua, reconciling the world to himself. It isn't God who's reconciled. He didn't turn his back on the world. Man turns his back on God. And it isn't God who turns around and changes. No, man has to change. And God was in Messiah in order to produce that change so that man can be reconciled back to God. In preparing this, there's one Michael Horton, and it's Beyond the Culture Wars. I've included some of his thoughts today because I think it's a timely word that God has given to him, and I've included some of those thoughts. As we enter this new year, we've had a steady stream from the media. This isn't to be critical. I just want to alert us so that our message is singular, that our message stays on target. And we can embrace this battle of visions from the world, or that we receive our vision from God. Because Scripture tells us to lift up our heads, for your redemption draws nigh. And we can continue to live life looking at it horizontally, or to look at life vertically. And so I've chosen, and I urge all of us, that we have our feet firmly planted on the earth, but our hearts are in heaven. That our hearts are in heaven. Joseph, we're told, he was described as a dreamer. But when he was called to the task of helping to lead that nation and its resources, this man who's called a dreamer is eminent in practical matters. And when God Almighty gave that man the ability to supernaturally interpret dreams, and yet what an effective statesman he is, you'll be only under the Pharaoh. So we're not talking about we're being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but that we're called to have our vision and fixed, and that our vision is that God Almighty has given us this word of reconciliation, and that God has called us, He's blessed our lives to what? Bring glory to Him and to make Him known among people. Lifting up our heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. To always remember the blessed hope is the return of Yeshua. The return. And we're told in the scripture that when He returns, it'll be like a snare upon the earth, because men are sleeping. And we don't want to be caught sleeping. We don't want to be sleeping virgins, but we want to be spiritually alert, looking for His coming, because that's the blessed hope. And that vision supersedes all others. His kingdom, His return. And that enables us to be good neighbors, good employees, good citizens. If the scriptures, again, don't serve as our guide, then television and newspapers will define our reality. Look, the world's message, it's a steady drumbeat that man, the master of this world, doesn't bear any evil within himself, within him or herself, that all the defects of his life are caused by misguided social systems, which must therefore be corrected. Let me say that again. The steady drumbeat, the message we continue hearing, is that all that man doesn't bear any evil within his or herself, that all the defects of his life are caused by misguided social systems, which must therefore be corrected. And so we can have believers concerned about a breakdown in traditional values, or we can have the world in its message that our kids can get on the college campus, that we get when we pick up the newspaper. There's a failure to unleash universal compassion, and the problem is seen just as being a matter of social, moral, or political reform. And the government is seen as the answer. Scripture tells us that we're made body, soul, and spirit. We're spiritual and material. And so, we can receive from government certain benefits, and we'll touch on that in a moment. But the idea is this, is that God has made us body, soul, and spirit. And whatever can rally the starving spirits of men, that's what'll draw. That's what'll draw. And we're called to give the bread of life. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Government can be beneficial. Their role is benefiting life, ensuring things that are necessary to safety, to commerce, to industry, to providing defense against aggression. My son served 8 years in the Marine Corps. He flew those F-18s. When he left the Marine Corps, he was involved in being aboard vessels where they take those Marines, they fly them into places there for a week or two, and then they're brought out, because our troops are fighting in places that don't appear in the newspapers. So I'm not speaking about something, I'm just kind of looking at things just this way. Because when your son or your daughter's in the Marines, or they're in the military, and they give you a will, Dad, this is my last will and testament, Believe me, you look at life differently. You hear news differently. You just do. And so government can be beneficial, and their role is benefiting life, ensuring things that are necessary to safety, to commerce, to industry, as providing a defense against aggression. And we're to pray, as Scripture tells us, for those in authority to obey the laws of the land. But the role of the body of Yeshua is the proclamation of the word and worship of God. God has called us that we do things that are sacramental by which we receive grace. There are marriages, the instruction of God's word, officiating at memorials for persons of faith. And we're not called to treat politicians and government as the answer to life's greatest question, because there are ultimate questions and ultimate answers. And so the government can help provide, again, safety, things of industry, things of commerce, but they don't provide us life and faith and hope. God Almighty, that comes from God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Men seek for what can rally, what can satisfy the starving spirits of men. And so for us, our message is one that doesn't ignore the government. We have a duty to God and we have a duty to the state. We vote according to our conscience. We're not telling people how to vote. But the one thing is right now, in this time that we're living in, there's still a battle of visions right now. And so you're going to be hearing someone just telling us that the vision, what we need, is we need this platform, we need this. And I'm telling you, is we can have our own reaction to it, but we're told, as members of the body of Yeshua, to lift up our heads because our redemption draws nigh. And the thing of it is this, is that we are helpless. We're without Yeshua, we have an incurable depravity. And so government can assist, but we're helpless. We need the grace of God in our lives. We need our sins forgiven us, because that's what cuts the mustard. That's what enables us to be healed from within. That's what causes us to be light and salt. Because otherwise we can buy into this argument, this steady drumbeat that continues coming our way. And all I'm telling you is when I was involved in student politics, it was for a time in a season, didn't bring me peace. It didn't bring me peace. And so, the myth of this culture that evil is the product of social structures rather than this depravity of human nature. And we're helpless. We need divine grace. We need the forgiveness of our sins. We need the feeding of God's word, the fellowship of the saints. And we don't do our people any service is when we diminish from that message, that we stay spot on the single eye in what God has called the body of Yeshua. Men and women are on a spiritual quest. Will we be there with those answers for ultimate questions? And one more thing is men are by nature, we're spiritually blind and self-centered. That's the truth. I know that about myself. I can be up here in front of you like this. But I know my heart. I know me. I'm not as bad as I think I'm being. And I'm not as loved as much as I know. We're living in a culture where man is the center. Scripture tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the people and they that dwell therein. And so often we can hear around us, just, I turned to God because it felt right. I turned to God because it improved my life. As though our message, our pitch, whether to new believers or to unbelievers, it'll produce happiness and self-fulfillment. That the message, it always has to be practical and have application to daily living. Look, our message is based on apostolic faith. That's our message. That our message is Yeshua came, he died, he was buried, he resurrected. Whatever else we add on, we go into peril the farther we get away from that message. And the message has got to be, we need our sins forgiven. We're at odds with God. But God in his great love sent his only begotten Son. And through him, we have forgiveness. When we consider Judaism, what it's given to us, because of Judaism, man, we're spared. We're not sitting here worshiping idols and pounding hammers into idols, nails into idols. I'm not standing around, you know, in pyramids offering up humans to a deity. No, we think of what Judaism has given us. And in the fullness of time, God gave us something beyond a system of law and sacrifice. As we sang this morning, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. That's our forgiveness. That's our peace. At times we can, as any of us, we go through struggles, but he is our peace. And so, our message, it's based on apostolic faith, not trends, not polls, not surveys, for setting the course of the body. We're created in his image and likeness, we're given reason, and we're blessed. And how can we use the blessing that he's given to bring honor to him and to make him known to others? Like I said, if we don't care about God and the study of Scripture, then what Scripture tells us, what revelation is, because that's from Scripture and it tells us about God, then the media, the newspapers, will define our reality. And so we want to move from what does this passage mean to me, to what does this passage mean? So that we move from, I feel that, to the law and to its testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. To the word and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. That's what we're called to. Not I feel, or it improved my life. God's given us his word. And that word, that's our guide. That's what cuts the mustard. That's what's central to the congregation. And that's what we hold sacred. We worship God the Father, and we worship God the Son, Yeshua. And the word, that is our guide. Because I'm telling you, the culture where we live in is man is a measure of things. And that drive through the media is always consumer. We got to buy this, we got to buy that, because that'll give us satisfaction. No, all those things are, as I've taught my boys, is money's a useful servant, a lousy master. And so what we want to be is people that are based on God's word, based on God the Father, God the Son. That's what I have to say today. So as we enter a new year, I wish you God's blessing, a prosperous new year, and just to know that what we'll be hearing for the next, well, whatever time it'll be, is people are mad right now over the outcome of the election, and it's been an election, like I said, with marked by harshness. I mean, when you, I'm 66 years old, so I'm telling you, I just lived in another, we won't say politics were ever clean, but there was a certain amount of decorum observed in that. But we're living in a time right now that I'm just telling you is you don't have a reference point. I mean, I grew up and I was riding the Detroit bus, DDOT. If a woman came on, you'd get up and offer her your seat. It's just different now. That's all. And in this time of Facebook and reality TV, everything's out there that for some of you that are a little older, just remember, there were certain things we discussed with our doctor and within our family, and we didn't want to put that on Facebook. We just knew better. You just knew better. And I don't want to take photographs of this sore that I got on my foot to put on Facebook. I don't understand that. But it's a new time. It's just a new time. And so I can just figure, hey, I'm old school. For myself, we still put a woman, we honor her. We teach our children to be responsible. We teach our children the need of education, to have manners, and that we just represent God. We represent God. He blesses our lives, and He blesses us to bring Him glory and to make Him known. And we won't do ourselves any good if we buy into the world's argument. Our gracious Father, we come to You today. And Lord, You've told us about the return of Yeshua. And we want to be just fervent and our eyes single and a listening ear to His return. But we pray, Father, help us, Lord. Help us to just keep our hearts just close to Thine. Help us through prayer to keep that face-to-face contact with You, Lord, that we not lose it and just begin taking on burdens that You've told us we're to lay at Your feet. Help our trust, Father, to be fixed on You. For cursed's the man that trusteth in man.
That's right.
And help us not to neglect praying for our nation's leaders, both in Washington and in Lansing and in our cities, Father. They have great tasks given to them. And one day, they will give an account. Judges, legislators, chief executives. So we pray God's guidance for them. And help us, Lord, to be clothed in this, Your blessing, representing Yeshua, to being ambassadors with how can I further the interests of the kingdom. We ask these things in His blessed name. Amen.
In closing, I want to read a verse that came at the conclusion of Yeshua's earthly dwelling just before he ascended. And what He told us is our responsibility as believers, what His aim is for us. And listen to this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. That's the problem of not only the world, but a lot of groups that call themselves Christian. There's more doubt and lack of power than there is declaration of who Yeshua is and what our responsibility is. Then Yeshua came to them and said, now listen to this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's our responsibility. Not just the apostles and not just pastors, but believers. We call people to be students of Yeshua. He's teaching us who God is, how to worship Him, how to live a godly life, and how to declare Him to the world. That is our responsibility. We don't go with tongue-tied problems. We go to declare Him to the world. Therefore, go and make disciples, make students, spiritual students of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And the reason a lot of people are going to fall, and there's going to become a big falling away, and Yeshua tells us about, is that people don't get into the Word and make it a part of their inner life. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So the guarantee that we can keep going and be victorious is that He is with us to the end of the age. So we're going to pray now and ask the Lord to move in every heart, move us close to Him. It says in Isaiah 49 that the two purposes that Messiah came was to bring the Jewish people back to God, not to back to religion, but back to the living God, and to be a light to the Gentiles. And the only person in Jewish history that fulfilled that was Yeshua. He has had this effect on His own people and this effect on the Gentiles. And we can say in Beth Messiah, although we aren't huge, we aren't a big congregation, we have Jew and Gentile as brothers and sisters together living for God. And that's what God intends, that we would be one in the Lord, that's His purpose. Lord, we come to You in Yeshua's name. We thank You for this message from You, from Alex. Thank You for anointing him and sending him to us. Keep blessing him and keep blessing Fisherman's Net as he and those next to him lead them and point them to You. Lord God, give us a new anointing of Your Spirit that we may walk in authority and not be ashamed of the gospel and of Yeshua, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord God, be with us as we eat together and strengthen us. Help us to be a blessing to one another and to be the proclaimers of the good news. Take all timidity, fear away from us and enable us to be the mouthpiece for You that You meant us to be. You said, You are the light of the world. Let Your light so shine before men that they may see Your good deeds and not glorify us. Glorify Your Father who is in heaven. Now be with us, encourage us, strengthen us, and give us a new anointing of Your Ruach HaKodesh, Your Holy Spirit. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav eilecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav eilecha. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, our righteousness, go with us and make us the light that You called us to be. In Yeshua's name, amen.